Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Week two is in the books, man. ISU won the Cy-Hawk Trophy in probably the most, Iowa State way, the last-minute field goal, 16-13. I mean, can these guys score 20 points or 30 points, maybe even 40 points at all? Like, typically when they play other teams, they do that quite easily. There's still a bunch of cupcake games left in the top 10, man. Holy crap. Like, there's still two more weeks. A lot of people do not start their conference play until the end of this month, which is nuts. And then some teams look better than others. There was a shakeup in the Little Apple, and Arch Manning finally got the numbers that the Texas faithful wish he would have gotten against Ohio State. Anyway, what's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Trigger Joe is on the way. Omar is not here physically, but he is present on the Ask for Football website. If you did not go back and read his article, he did a really good deep dive on this past weekend. And we're going to get into that a lot deeper on the Army Football Show. So if you're not a member of the Firsty Club, you are totally missing out on great interview that we got coming up, and that's all I'm going to say. We'll probably plug it towards the end. But, Dano, what'd you watch this weekend, and how are things going on your end?
So life is good, man. I am officially on vacation, which is awesome. I told myself we're going to Saratoga tomorrow, and I am going to drive really, really hard to not be anything as for football while we are gone. I took my week with the bye week, so I'm trying to do the right thing here. Dude, I watched so much college football this weekend. I had three TVs, one of which was set to show four games. So I had six games on at any one given time. And it was overwhelming. My wife was like, you are insane. I watched Iowa, Iowa State. That might have been the game of the day. I kept an eye on USF beating Florida. Like, that was insane. Baylor, SMU went crazy, especially at the end. Ole Miss at Kentucky also got crazy. UVA at NC State was a good game, even though I was pulling for the Cavs. UConn. God, UConn snatched the defeat out of the jaws of victory at Syracuse. I watched every freaking snap of that game. Unbelievable. It was just heartbreaking. Jacksonville State beat Liberty. Was delighted with that. So that was one of my picks. And finally, Texas State at UTSA. Totally insane shootout. If you guys missed that one, like, what an insane game. Almost 90 points scored in that game.
Yeah, that game was pretty bonkers. And you know, for me, Joe's here now, so he's calling to us from the home of the big house, but we'll continue to run down what we watched this weekend, then we'll pass it over to Joe. I watched the Army game, of course, which was still to this day, that may have been the gutsiest performance that I've seen from a Jeff Monken coach team, to be completely honest. In all the years I've watched Army football, that was probably one of the most complimentary football games that I've seen, and that's really what you need to win, particularly when, as Coach Monken always says, we don't have the most talented guys on the depth chart. But we're tough, you know, and that was 100% the truth in that game. That Texas State UTSA game was pretty amazing. To go down to the Alamo Bowl and beat the Roadrunners is super damn impressive. You know, I mean, Texas State, obviously they didn't get the memo that they were supposed to lay down for UTSA. And I think, there's quite a bit of interesting contest because you saw, teams that were supposed to struggle against quote unquote cupcakes, cupcakes didn't look so hot, particularly in the first half. So Clemson struggled with Troy, which was odd. It was like, is Clemson going to continue to Clemson? Like, if they would have lost that game, I think their fan base would have hit the fire alarm as well. You know, Georgia struggled, and then ASU, lost to a bottom tier SEC team. Legitimately, freaking Mississippi State has currently as many wins as they had last season already, and we're only in week three of the season. So that's an interesting thing to look at as well. Joe, what'd you end up watching? How was your weekend?
I would like to mention that we have some pretty sharp picks in recent memory, but collectively as a show, we did pretty well on Saturday. And I was a half point away on Iowa State that game from going 3-0. I think you were almost ready to go 3-0. I'm pretty sure two of us called Mississippi State fraud checking Arizona State. And speaking of fraud checks and the people that didn't get the memo, South Florida.
Oh, yeah.
As a 17.5-point dog goes to the swamp and wins with no time on the clock on the foot of a Gramatica. And I have more to say about him. That was easily the biggest upset of the week, in my opinion. And then we got the nighttime games, and I know you guys know what I watched. That game was tailor-made for a deer-in-the-headlights moment for Bryce and Michigan, and that Brent Venables defense did exactly that. They stumbled in the first half. And obviously, they looked better in the second half, which they actually outscored Oklahoma in the second half, 13-10, but wasn't enough to recover from that putrid offensive first half. Just couldn't get anything going. I said that game was going to be a coin flip, and it could go one way. Bryce could either put the country in Michigan, could put the country on notice, or he could be an 18-year-old human being. And the latter of the two happens, but I think that kid's going to wow us at least twice this season. And I'll say it one more time, what is going on with Clemson football? How many games do they need to play four quarters of good football on one Saturday?
Yeah. I mean,
it's nuts.
Yeah, like you know, and this is weird because it's like Dabo's doing things out of what he normally did. Like he's going into the transfer portal. He's doing all the things that other teams are doing, and maybe that's the reason why the team hasn't gelled yet. You know, maybe that's why they're struggling to close it out. But speaking of being able to close it out, we have the person that can help you close out a opportunity on getting a new home. So if you listen to this show before, we have a realtor that is sponsoring our show. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, Jocelyn is the realtor for you. She spent her career in Army Logistics, where she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extensive network of veteran realtors who could help you find a home if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a house, Jocelyn's your first call. She's decided to support us for football again this season. We thank her for that, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Hey, bottom line is, this is how the West Point Network works. And hey, even if you're not a West Point graduate, if you're just, enlisted guy, a enlisted gal, just a person that is listening to Astro Football, if you need to move somewhere in the country, reach out to Jocelyn. She'll help you find a realtor that you can trust and get you into the home of your dreams. Dano, let's hit the Service Academy standings real quick. Thanks.
So, yeah, Army is 1-1 after beating K-State in the Little Apple. Quarterback Cale Helms ran the ball 41 times, and the Black Knights edged out the Wildcats, one of the craziest performances that we've seen lately. Coach Munkin looked like he was almost in tears in the middle of the field after the game. I mean, just what an outstanding victory that was. Navy is 2-0 after pitching a second-half shutout against UAB at final score 38-24. That was a shootout. It was crazy. The UAB just couldn't come back from that second lightning delay. It is not easy to sit in your visitor's locker room that long, that many times. I mean, not taking anything away from the Mids, because I think that's a good team. But the Blazers, that was a tough one for the Blazers. I think that team is a little bit improved from what we thought they were. So, and Air Force had a bye week. They take on Utah State September 13th. We'll see what they got. I think they're favored by about a touchdown, right?
Yeah. So outside the FBS, we've got the Coast Guard Academy. Coast Guard Academy is 0-1 after losing a heartbreaker in OT to University of New England, 56-49. The Bears take on Curry College this weekend. You can watch the Coast Guard Academy on Flow Sports. It's a college streaming service. I don't know what it is. You'd have to do a little bit more research on that. But Merchant Marine Academy, the Mariners are 1-0 after beating Montclair State 29-15. They're on the road this week as they play Nichols College on the 13th. Quick programming note. Hey, if you are a football fan and you want to watch the Secretary's Cup, the Secretary's Cup is going to be played in Fenway Park this season. Wow. And cool. It's going to be on ESPN. Yeah, so it's going to be on ESPN Plus. So you either get the televised game or you can go, watch a football game at Fenway. That sounds like it's pretty cool. But without further ado, we are going to move on to Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week. Thanks.
We can dance around, hey, I'm an old man, I don't like to trash on college players, but every once in a while a teachable moment presents itself, and we got one this weekend. So unfortunately, this is an easy one. On Saturday, we were witnesses to an incredible football game between University of South Florida and the Florida Gators in the Swamp, with USF pulling out the upset 18-16. I'd like to talk about the final drive. With 2:07 left on the clock, Florida defensive lineman Brendan Batt stood in the face of a South Florida player and spit directly into his face mask. Leaving how disgusting and disrespectful that is out, Bet was immediately ejected. Florida was assessed a 15-yard penalty, and 7 plays later, Nico Gramatica kicked the game-winning field goal for South Florida. Gentlemen, I don't think we've ever had behavior so egregious to your team when given the moment it happened in. That is a definition of a Blue Falcon moment. I mean, you literally leave your buddies behind and care about what you want to do. And that is what Mr. Bet did when he spat in the face of his opponent in an absolutely crucial moment for his team, giving South Florida a 15-yard first down. And for those reasons, he's definitely this week's Blue Falcon. And I think he needs to be taught a little bit of respect for himself in the game, in my opinion. Because if anybody's doing that really isn't being situationally aware of the game, that or they just don't care, and you need to get that off your team.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so who do we have up next, Joe?
All right, hey, you know, don't stray too far away from the previous topic, as the hold my beer moment this week comes from the same game. I bet if they would have told Nico Gramatica that all he needed to do was make 3 30-yard or shorter chip shots and an extra point, and we're going to beat Florida, he would have said no problem. Doesn't sound too tough for a kicker. Not until you get to that last kick, though. Because that last kick is to win the game as the clock runs out in front of a sellout crowd of well over 100,000 people in the Swamp, most of which are pulling for you to fail. How about just to ratchet up the game-winning field goal pressure? We make it a bunny, so you have no excuse for missing it. Does Nico flinch? Does he think, man, if I miss this kick, I'm going to be disowned by my family and get rattled? No. He takes that. And the fact that more than one of his family members have been injured playing football due to non-contact after field goal celebrations, and he uses it as fuel to silence the haters. The snap was good, the hold was good, and just before he reared back and booted the game winner while imagining himself in the World Cup, Nico Gramatica said, hold my beer, watch this, and won the game. So I think it was a fantastic hold my beer moment for the kicker. Nailed 3 big ones and none bigger than the last. And if you saw that press box footage of the South Florida coaches running out of there, man, I felt good for them. Because they look like young guys, guys that weren't quite established yet, and they went into Florida and won. Man, it's like everything football is about.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, you know, there's two things we know in sports that are truisms. You never want to leave, you know, you never want to leave the scorecards in the hand of the judges, and you don't want to leave the decision of the win or loss of a football contest on the foot of your kicker if you can avoid it, right? Not because of any other reason, not because that's not that what they do. Too many things can happen, right? Like, hey, look, a kick can get blocked. It could be a bad hold. It could be a bad snap. It could be weather, wind, whatever. And so if you can win the game whistle to whistle, great. But to have a walk-off kick like that with no time remaining on the clock, that's huge for your team. And, oh, by the way, it was who it was against. Like, if it would have been against, you know, University of Wetumpka, Alabama, nobody would have cared. No, but because it was
– The momentum that carries into Miami, which is this Saturday –
yeah,
makes that game so. Could you imagine us at week 3 saying Miami and South Florida is going to be the most lit game of the week? Because it probably is, other than Tennessee and LSU.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that one's certainly one to watch. And we haven't even gotten games to the week yet, but that's certainly something to pay attention. No, you're fine. That's certainly something to pay attention to, because I think, you know, and you got to toss it out there and just think about it. Is USF for real? I mean, like, they've put on two.
I think their defense is.
They put on two quality wins. I mean, you shut out Boise State. And so now, you know, after you watch that Boise State game with USF, like, Ashton Jensen should have won the Heisman Trophy, because, like, clearly he is sorely missed it, you know, on the blue turf. But, you know, it's interesting to see USF. They're starting to build momentum. And if they have a decent showing against Miami, I don't even, like, I think deep down inside they want to win that game, but, like, if they have a decent showing, if they keep it close, like, if they have the same score against Miami as they did against Florida and Miami wins it, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because their defense is legit. Carson Beck has a cannon, though, man. Like, he looks like a completely different player in Miami than he does when he was at Georgia.
Byron Brown outplayed DJ Lagway in every facet of the game. That kid ain't scared. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. He's terrific, man. When he's healthy, he is as good as anybody in college football and has been for a while.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Speaking of great players, let's talk about the top 10. Joe, what do you got?
My whole screen just went.
Oh, there you go.
We got you. Right. Okay. Yep, whole screen just stopped. But yeah, he came in and played pretty tough against Lagway. I think he's going to do the same thing. I expect a close game in Miami. I really do.
Yeah, for sure. Let's hit the top 10.
All right, no change for OSU as they pummel Grambling 70-0. They do have the defending MAC champions, the Ohio Bobcats, coming in fresh off of an upset of West Virginia last weekend. They have played two good games, so something's telling me that's going to be closer than five touchdowns. The Bucks are a 32.5-point favorite. At number two, we got Penn State. No change there as James Franklin's squad puts up a 34-point shutout victory over FIU. The Nittany Lions have the Wildcats of Villanova coming to town next weekend, and I think we're all just waiting for them to get tested. Looks like we got to wait another week. LSU is at number three. The Tigers, they put after an interesting 23-7 victory over Louisiana Tech. The next week in Death Valley should answer some questions as they have an absolutely pissed off Florida Gators team coming to town. Something tells me they're going to get Florida's best shot. The line is LSU -9.5. At number four, we got the Oregon Ducks. They jumped up two spots after making me look away like I was about to watch a Face of the Death video because of what they did to Oklahoma State. They beat them 69-3 on Saturday. Oregon travels to Northwestern this week where they're a four-touchdown favorite, and rightfully so because Northwestern's a mess. At number five, we got Miami. No change there as the Hurricanes tuned up Bethune-Cookman 45-3. Ain't going to be a tune-up this week as they have the one of the hottest teams in the country, the 2-0 South Florida Bulls coming in. Miami is set favored by 17.5. At number six, we got the Bulldogs of Georgia. They dropped two spots as they made it look difficult with Austin Peay, who is apparently a quality mid-team. They travel to play Tennessee this week. Georgia is a -3.5-point favorite. I'm not sure I agree with that line. Not in Tennessee, but at number seven, we got the Texas Longhorns. No change here. They stay in the seventh spot as they had a serviceable victory over San Jose State, 38-7. UTEP comes into Austin on Saturday where they are a 41.5-point underdog. At number eight, we got Notre Dame. I guess it's the luck of the Irish that they jump up one spot, even though they didn't play. The undefeated Texas Aggies come to town next week. Somehow winless Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite. At number nine, we got the Illini, who have looked better and better, up two spots after demolishing Duke on the road 45-19. Illinois plays Western Michigan at home on Saturday, where they are a 28-point favorite. At number 10, we got the Seminoles of Florida State. Man, look out for them. They're on a revenge tour, and they just punched East Texas A&M's ticket 77-3 on Saturday. Florida State has the weekend off.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Altmaier for Illinois is looking good, man. Like, he's looking solid. They're getting good production out of just about everybody on that offense. He's got weapons for sure.
He's got Bo Nix level experience too.
Yeah, and he's been around.
Been there a minute.
Yeah, he's been there for a minute. And I think, you know, again, this goes back to, and this is a topic for another time, but it goes right back into player development. Like, the quarterbacks that have had the same quarterback coach or head coach for a while, they're doing pretty well. The guys that are bouncing from team to team are not doing so well, you know. And I think, you know, and like every time I look at a roster, I see like another victim of the transfer portal. So like, what is it? Matthew Sluka, who went from, you know, Holy Cross to UNLV. Now he's at JMU. Dude's not even playing, right? Now you're in your junior year, the year where the scouts are looking at you and you're not even touching the field. And so I think, you know, at some point this is going to level off with the transfer portal because guys are really cutting out their professional opportunities, trying to make money, you know, in college. And hey, guess what? Like, yeah, 4 or 5 years in college is decent money, but you know, that first term NFL contract is probably worth a little bit more long-term for you.
Stepping over dollars to pick up dimes.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of stepping over dollars to pick up dimes, we got top 25 losses this week. So we've got 8 total since the start of the season. Like last year, we were at like, I think it was like 63 was the final count. And that, you know, that was before going into the playoffs. So you're going to see a lot of turmoil in the top 25 for sure. SMU dropped one to Baylor in OT. Like if you didn't watch that game, woof, that was a great game to watch. The final was impressive. Arizona State, like certainly is going to drop out of the top 15. I didn't even look, but I knew that they did because they lost to Mississippi State. How do you lose to the worst team in the SEC? Like that lined up to be a cupcake game for them and didn't turn out. You know, we already talked about Florida dropping one to USF. That was an amazing game though. And Michigan got edged by OU, man. I think it, you know, had they played a little bit tighter in the first half, like Michigan's defense is legit, right? Like I think their defense is significantly better than their offense. And, but that being said, you know, Mateer for freaking OU, that guy's legit, man. He's trying to make his case for the Heisman Trophy, 100%.
There was one thing I saw that Michigan has to fix, and that is they're showing very early that we do not trust our guys to run block for 6 minutes straight.
Hmm.
They're getting real cute with their plays where they're doing, you know, they're doing toss sweeps and they're, you know, reverses, but they're not doing power eye and counter tray and running off the left hat. Like, so they're either saying they don't trust their offensive line yet to do that, or the new play calling is not my favor. Because everyone talks about JJ McCarthy not being so great because of how much Michigan ran. And that's what killed people. If Michigan had the ball in 6 minutes, they were going to drain the clock on you if they had the ball to lead in 6 minutes. Yeah. And if you can't run, just like the Lions in Green Bay, it looked different because they weren't controlling the line.
Yeah.
And Michigan wasn't controlling the line. Oklahoma was. And that was the big difference in the first half, in my opinion.
All right. So, like, this is an odd topic for week three, but I think – if we were to do this later in the season, it would be like which coach is on the hot seat based off of the performance of their team so far in the season. But right now, you know, hats off to everybody for keeping calm for the most part. But like there are some fan bases right now that are literally in panic mode. Like they are putting on their, you know, they're putting on their mask and making sure the person sitting next to them is getting their mask on too, because they are going down in flames. And one of those is the K-State fan base, man. Like I saw a tremendous meltdown after just a great freaking football game. You know, like I've heard people like, we got to fire the offensive coordinator. We got to fire the head coach because like, we've got a 4-star quarterback and he couldn't pass. Yeah. He couldn't pass. His ass wasn't on the field. You know, like how are you supposed to win a football game? How are you going to put the hand, you know, like I could have Joe Montana or Eli or Peyton Manning, some of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of football. But if the time of possession is so lopsided that I only got two plays in the second half, and one of which was a 2-point conversion after a kickoff.
Yeah.
Like how are you supposed to win the football contest? But who else is like in panic mode right now? Cause I can see a lot of the fan bases with that are like high strung right now. And it's like, hey, it's week three, guys. There's plenty of time. Most teams haven't even started conference play yet. Right. And these guys are like shuttering their seasons already.
One more loss and it's over.
I listened to
a show today, the Bosco's Boys podcast. You know, friend of the show, I like that guy, but he described himself as being in the canoe and ready to bail out into the river, and it was wild. Like, yeah, he wants to fire everybody. It was crazy. I think K-State has a good team. They could stand to change up some of that play calling a little bit. I mean, run the read option. I don't know what you're doing. They're trying to run a drop back passing attack and they don't have the running backs or the line for that. But if they ran the read option, they could probably get away from that. But anyway, that's another story. Actually going to talk about that more on the Army show, but Liberty, man, they struggled to beat FCS Maine and they got smoked by Jacksonville State. We're used to thinking of Liberty as being one of the best teams in the G5 this year. I think they're one of the most average teams in the G5. I don't know if that's five alarm fire panic mode, but they are not great. Like that's not a good football team. UTSA is now 0-2. I think we can forgive the loss at Texas A&M, but losing to Texas State where their defense absolutely could not stop Texas State at all is not a great sign. I mean, Texas State just kept hitting bomb after bomb after bomb. It was insane. The Roadrunners have a get right game this weekend against Incarnate Word. And then they're at Colorado State and then they travel to take on Temple. And guys, Temple is improved. So that game on October 4th is actually kind of an important one, I think, in the American Conference, just to kind of see where everybody sits. And then finally, out of the P4, dude, UCLA. They got losses to Utah and UNLV. Nico Imaliava has thrown 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, and taken 6 sacks. Backup quarterback just got thrown off the team after getting arrested. Holy shit, that is bad. That is five alarm fire bad.
Yeah, that sounds like some Colorado Buffaloes late 90s kind of action, stabbing the punter because he asked his girlfriend out on a date. Joe, who do you think should be prepping their Xanax for the second part of the season?
You know, I think the fact that Tarleton State was able to pull off the win over Army is what has a lot of Kansas State fans panicking. And it's like, hey, man, look in the mirror. What happened to you happened to Army last week. And Army should be undefeated right now. They just, they had a lead, lost the lead, and lost the game, leaving our opponent hanging around too long. So the same thing happened to Kansas State. So I think that they'll be fine. And I also think that, like, just because, Army had that first game, don't think they're not going to play better. And Army's never going to fold it in. Like, I watched those guys take Michigan to overtime, and that was a thin year for them. I watched them in person do it. So it's what they do. So I think Kansas State will be just fine. A loss to Army is not something that you should hang your head about. They're a tough team, and if you don't show up, they're gonna stay in the game. So I think that we should take notice of the fact that Oklahoma State just lost by 66 points to anybody and ask ourselves, could we have pictured that 4 or 5 years ago? I think Oklahoma State is on the verge of burying their football program, and they certainly have an identity crisis. And Northwestern is a mess, in my opinion. They are a very hard school to qualify to get into academically, which excludes a lot of athletes from the get-go. And it puts them behind the power curve. And then after what happened to Pat Fitzgerald, they probably lost everything they had in the pipeline. And it's time for them to maybe clean house, get a football mind in there and say, hey, do we want to have a football team? And if we do, what's our identity? Like, are we going to compete? Because Northwestern used to give you fits every 3 or 4 years. They'd be a problem. And, it's like they're just a whipping post now. And and now they're not even competing. Like that Tulane game was ugly. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, for sure. And I should have been wearing my quit being a triggered pansy shirt, because again, I agree with Dano. Like K-State, I think you guys are panicking way too early. And just for the simple reason is, like, you have to understand that, like, Army's a good football team. You also have to understand that Tarleton State is a good football team. Like, if you have dipped in on Tarleton State social media and looked at anything behind the scenes, they have an $81 million football facility and program. Like, they are about to jump to FBS. They are posturing themselves like JMU did. They're posturing themselves like Jackson State did. So, yeah, they're coming after Power 5 scalps or Group of 5 scalps or just FBS scalps. So then they make that jump. They're competitive. And I mean, that makes absolute sense. And it's like nothing, not taking anything away from the performance that Army had, but we'll deep dive in the Army football show. But the reality of it is like, hey, man, like, you still have an opportunity to win. Like, you lost, one conference game, and that was to a rival early during week zero. That happens. Now you've got a rebound, and it sucks. And like, yeah, all great that you got the international shine from going over to Ireland to play that game. But, like, was that a smart move? And again, you don't control the the coach doesn't control the booking of, games like that early. But there's probably some things that he can do. But, like, those dudes are, like, seriously angry at their team. Like, they want the whole coaching staff gone. And it's like, like, if they stink it up, like, if they go freaking 3-10, like, yeah, then maybe you have a reason to be upset, or, but right now it's still too early. ASU, on the other hand, hey, man, had a chance to win the game. That was a bad coaching call. Like, why would you stay in your base defense when you know that they have to throw in order to beat you? And then, just like their quarterback got beat up, man. Sam Levitt got rocked a lot in that game, and like, he's not used to getting hit. I think there's probably some line stuff that needs to happen because they couldn't get their offensive line going. Their defense obviously is decent-ish because they didn't let Mississippi State score a bunch of points, but you still didn't score enough to win the game. And so, like, that's one of those, like, as you get deeper into your season, especially as Arizona State, you've got to be able to put up 45-50 points into Big 12 to win, because that's how those games go. Like, they're most of the time they're shootouts unless they're rivalry games. And so, like, I think Arizona State might be in trouble. And then, of course, I think the absolute worst one, that I'm watching and the collapse is 100% real is Stanford. Because Stanford used to be one of those teams that was like a perennial, like, hey, you better watch out because if you're playing Stanford, they're going to get you, you know. And now it's like, hey, we've got Andrew Luck coming back from the pros. We're talking crap about the coach. We don't know what's going on, and they can't even recruit. Like, because think about it, Christian McCaffrey was a Stanford guy, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you think about the level of talent that they used to have in that place versus the level of talent that they have now, like, I would say – I would be significantly concerned, and maybe in the restructured, you know, Mountain Pac-10 that's coming next year, as they talk about realigning that conference, maybe they'll get something back. But like, Stanford's in trouble. Yeah. I think the jet stream
of Jim Harbaugh's success is fading.
Yeah, I think of the 130, you know, of the 136 teams in FBS football, that would be the one that I'm absolutely most concerned for, because it's chaos both on the field and in the front office. You know, like, if you have a stable coaching crew, I think you can survive. But like, if you don't have a, you know, recruiting is one thing, you know, recruiting and coaching is another thing. But when the front office is drastically against what the coach is doing, I think you've got a much greater issue. But speaking of somebody that does not have any issues helping you close on your mortgage, Dano, can you do the next read? Thanks.
Friends, if you have watched or listened to this show in the past, you know that Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store, sponsors As for Football. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is a mortgage broker licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country, offers super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And that matters because, as we've said before, the mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place, trying to figure out what kind of mortgage you want, what you can afford, how much all the taxes and interest and all that other shit is going to be. You want to deal with a person. Somebody you can ask questions to, not a call center, not some random big box bank, not a mindless website. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? As Rob was saying earlier, Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football. And we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, maybe $1,300. Save that money. Save yourself $1,300. Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. His link and Jocelyn's both are on our website. Just go there. They both have business cards right on the front page. Click on those things. Fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to them very shortly. I'm telling you, couldn't be easier.
Thanks, Dan. And we are moving on to the games of the week. If you can believe it, man, we are in week three of major college football. It is bonkers. Right. So starting off on Thursday night, September the 11th, you got NC State at Wake Forest. That may turn out to be a better game. It might be one of the only ones on, so certainly watch it if you feel the need, but I think that one's going to be a good one. You've got Indiana taking on Indiana State. That's another tune-up game. Really nothing of interest on Friday night unless you're a Kansas State fan, because K-State takes on Arizona, and then you got Colorado at Houston. Those are mildly interesting for a Friday night. But I don't think that those games are going to be as competitive as some of the games on Saturday. Moving into the early kicks on Saturday, you've got Memphis at Troy, you know, American Conference play. Oregon at Northwestern, as Joe mentioned before, I think, like, I hope that doesn't turn into a bloodletting, but I think it is. You know, Northwestern is struggling right now. Oregon's offense is hot, hot, hot right now. Like, yeah. I mean, I think as big as the holes that the line are putting in, you could probably get, you know, a Pop Warner kid, hand off the ball to him, and he's going to get 200 yards rushing against Northwestern. Looking at Oklahoma and Temple, that should be interesting because Temple is trending upwards, and Oklahoma, you know, they've got a Heisman Trophy candidate at QB1. That'll be an interesting way to start that one. I got Central Michigan and Michigan. Army coaching alum Matt Drinkle is going against Michigan. I don't think they'll win that game, but it'll be respectable because Central Michigan has a good team. I mean, they looked good this weekend. Of course, things got out a little bit of hand, but, you know, talent match is kind of weird. All right, so you got Clemson and Georgia Tech kicking at noon. That'll be an interesting game. Haynes King versus Cade Klubnik. One of those two guys is going to be in the Heisman Trophy talk even more after this game, and it's probably going to be the QB that wins it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no, I was just saying that's a great spot to take Georgia Tech in the points. I don't know how they're getting – last time I checked, it was 9.5.
Yeah. I don't know how, all day. Yeah, I don't know how Clemson is getting that many points, but Georgia Tech and Haynes King, like, there's got to be a parlay, too, with how many touchdowns he's going to pass or run, because that guy is probably he's one of the better quarterbacks in there. Wisconsin and Alabama, that's going to be a tricky one too, because you know got Luke Fickell going, you know, to Tuscaloosa. Bama looked great against, you know, an FBS or FCS opponent. That's not impressive. And then, you know, this will be the real test to see if Alabama is going to Bama the rest of the season, because, you know, they potentially could run the table from here, but they got their work cut out for them with the defense that Luke Fickell can throw together. UConn at Delaware. That's an interesting contest just based off of the way that the Huskies fell apart last week. And Delaware got smacked around, so the Blue Hens are probably looking for a little bit of revenge, and it's at home. It's a 3 o'clock kick on ESPN+.
If UConn drops that game, I'm going to scream. Come on.
They shouldn't.
You know what's crazy is the last two teams in my parlay were Syracuse and SMU. And so as I'm celebrating one winning a game they should not have, the other one's killing my parlay in the game they should have won. Because I had SMU and Syracuse.
Yeah, that's crazy. SMU's, you know, they're trying to bounce back.
Against they choked.
Yeah, they should bounce back against Missouri State. You got Oregon State and Texas Tech. That might be a little bit of an interesting contest because Texas Tech is ranked there in the 24th spot, but we'll see. You got Villanova at Penn State. Like, is Villanova, no shade on Villanova, but like, hey, Penn State, I understand that you guys are trying to manage your schedule, but you know, if the playoff committee is looking at strength of schedule, this does not help your case at all.
How's this? If Vegas can't give you a line for it, get better competition. Okay.
that's
you
a
need
fair
better
point.
Competition.
And so you got ranked on ranked matchup, Georgia and Tennessee. I think that'll be a good one. That'll kick at 3:30 on ABC. We'll see if Georgia's for real. I think like, we had a lot of Power Four teams playing with their food this weekend. Like, if you mess around like that, Tennessee will absolutely get you at home.
The home field advantage in that contest is insane. And they got like 103,000 people in that stadium. I mean, dude, it is insane.
Yeah, and make no mistake, there will be some goalposts in the lake or in the river if Georgia doesn't keep it together. Yeah, Texas takes on UTEP again. Like, really? Why are we even watching this? Hey, but 4:30 on the CW. So if you guys have the CW, or you know, grab your antenna so you can get this one, because you've got USF at Miami. That's going to be on broadcast TV. It'll be on digital too if you have it. But like, that's definitely a game to watch. I've got Charlotte taking on Monmouth as a American Conference matchup. Got Florida Atlantic at FIU. That should be a decent game. Florida Atlantic should have the edge on that because FIU is pretty nicked up because they took a beating this past weekend. Got Western Michigan at Illinois kicking at 7. Do we think that Luke Altmyer is going to be that guy this season? Because I think a lot of people are looking at him to be that dude, and he's been pretty consistent so far this season. Moving on, you got Prairie View A&M at Rice. My dad actually graduated from Prairie View about 1,000 years ago, but small note. And but that's another American Conference matchup. Then you got Arkansas and Ole Miss. Ole Miss, literally, you know, they're lucky they're at home taking on the Arkansas, because they did not look so great against Kentucky. And Kentucky is like, Kentucky's up and down. Like, they're not a bad team, but they're not a great team. Ohio going into the Shoe at Ohio State. Like, that's basically a home game for both teams. But look, man, Ohio's gotten, you know, 3 out of 4 against West Virginia in their place. So the last time West Virginia won was like 2001 at Bobcat Stadium. And like, that emotional high from beating West Virginia is probably not going to last past like the first half of the first quarter against the Buckeyes. Jeremiah Smith, massive game. Then you've got Florida at LSU. Florida's got to get some respect in that one, man. Like, that one's going to be a tough contest for sure.
They're going to get smoked playing at LSU. Come on.
Yeah.
I wish Dano gave me 5 picks for some of these this week. And that's one of them.
Yeah, for sure. I think that one's going to be bad. Texas A&M and Notre Dame. Hey, like, This is the test to see if Notre Dame is for real. Like, if they put it on Texas A&M, you know, then maybe we can see them actually making some moves or having some impact on the college football playoff this season. But
they should have scheduled that one in November.
It would have been a much better, it would have been a smarter call for sure. Yeah. East Carolina at Coastal Carolina, again, basically a home game because those are right there. But ECU is like, I don't know what's going on with them. Are they shaking the cobwebs out or what? But Coastal always plays them tough because they're so close in proximity, same recruiting, you know, same recruiting population, that kind of thing. It's kind of a border war situation. You got Vandy at South Carolina. Interesting game. That game is probably going to be good. Diego Pavia, you know, picked up where he left off last year and is all about getting the upset. And that's usually the crown that's held by South Carolina, especially in the SEC. So tune in for that one. That's going to be on the SEC Network at 7:45. Late games, we're moving on to 8 o'clock. You got Duke at Tulane. That's a conference matchup, or out of conference, but a American Conference game. Navy at Tulsa. That's playing at 8 o'clock on ESPN+. Utah at Wyoming. Utah's ranked still, surprisingly. Air Force at Utah State. And then you've got Texas State at Arizona State. And that might be another crap game.
Yeah.
Look out, Arizona State. better pick your chin up.
Texas State is a much better team than you think. Like, that team is better than you think they are.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of those things where we start saying, you know, getting closer than the experts think. But like, Texas State went down, like look, if you win in the Alamo Dome, you're bad dude. Like,
do they have the same quarterback from last year?
I don't know who that quarterback was last year.
Oh, God, that kid padded some stats. Yeah, I'll have to do my research on Texas State if they win again this weekend, because
that dude has an absolute cannon. I mean, he has got a legit howitzer.
Is he black or white?
I don't even know. He was wearing
a helmet. The quarterback last year was African American, and that dude hung some stats. So if he's back, I don't know. Texas State was fun to watch last year, in my opinion.
I mean, just the number of bombs that this kid dropped on Saturday was unreal. I mean, it must have been five 60-yard bombs.
Yeah, and this dude's like, and they're on a rope too. It's not like he's struggling for accuracy that far down the field.
No, Jesus, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's the same guy, I'm pretty sure I ate off of his touchdown props on FanDuel a couple times last year. Yeah, like that dude pad the stats.
Yeah, for sure. And then, the late game is going to be Portland State of Hawaii. That kicks off at midnight if you're up that late. American game to watch this week. I think Navy and Tulsa is probably the only in-conference matchup to watch. Golden Hurricane usually plays Navy tough, but like, who knows the way that this season is going, because Navy's defense – had the benefit of, you know, the extra long layoff in between, you know. I don't think Navy would have played as solid a defense if they didn't have those rain delays, because I think those rain delays actually allowed them to make up time. Because when you're looking at the way that the game was going, like, the first half was wide open. And then after all those rain delays, then the defense tightened up. So they were able to make some corrections, and like, hey, is what it is. ECU plays Coastal, like we already mentioned. I think that'll be another game in the American to watch. But
Duke at Tulane. Who is Tulane? Not to spoil my picks, but I took them to cover. They didn't even get close to covering a mediocre at best Duke team coming into Tulane. Dude, if the Green Wave don't beat Duke handily, I don't know if they're the team we thought they were after week one, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's a good observation, man, because like, I knew that it wasn't going to be a close game at Illinois. That was my pick last week, but I didn't think it was going to get that out of hand. You know, I thought it would have been a close game, maybe 10 points, but like, they dog walked them. So we'll see. But hey, let's move on to our
weekly locks.
That sounder's pretty cool, man. Dano, good job on that, man.
Thanks.
Impressed. All right, what'd you pick of this week, Dan?
So I went 1-1 again. God damn it, Tulane. They let the Jaguars score 17 points in the fourth quarter and almost lost. Unbelievable. But Jacksonville State took care of business against Liberty. So, 1-1. I got three picks because I've gone 1-1 every single week. So give me K-State at Arizona over 54.5. I really think that K-State, they got to do something with that offense and kick it in gear, or else they're dead. And Memphis -4.5 at Troy. That line's insane. Memphis is such a better team than that. You got to be kidding me. And Texas State at Arizona State over 59.5. We've talked about that one. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but they're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think Texas State's going to take the line share points, or do you think ASU is going to contribute?
You know what? It's kind of like that. I almost took K-State and the points over Arizona because I think K-State's got to play better. And I kind of feel the same way about that game. Like, I think K-State's going to keep it I think Texas State is going to keep it competitive. I think they can score a lot. But, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Arizona State, beats it by two touchdowns. I mean, you know, I don't know. I like UTSA also moved the ball quite a bit. That was a very high scoring game last week.
Yeah, for sure. It'll just be interesting. Like if Arizona State goes with tempo and tries to control it with the running game, then they may have a better chance of like locking that thing down. But we'll see. Joe, what are you picking?
I went 2-1 last week, and I was snagged by the hook in the Iowa State game. I had them -3.5, and they won by a field goal. Illinois, we both had smash Duke, and then Mississippi State fraud checked Arizona State. So puts us in the black, and I'm 4-2 in the last 2 weeks. I think we can do better. So I've got three picks because that's all Dan will give me. number one is Texas Tech, -23.5. Look, the Red Raiders have their offense against Oregon State at home. The Red Raiders have their offense rolling. They've gone over 60 in their first two games, and Oregon State is terrible. Give me Texas Tech to win this one going away like 52-13. And then you mentioned this one already. I'm buying Oregon -27.5 at Northwestern. Northwestern's also a mess. And I think that Oregon's going to pretty much do whatever they want to do for four quarters. Give me Oregon 52-14. And then South Florida +17.5 at Miami. I can see that Las Vegas clearly isn't a believer in South Florida yet, but I do believe in that defense and that this will be a close game that Carson Beck throws a TD that wins it, 34-28 Miami. Lock these three in a parlay and thank me later. But I do believe that Illinois covers at home also.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're giving 27.5. I think they cover at home again.
Yes. So for me this week, I've got Illinois easily covered over Duke. Although they scored a lot of points, it was just very lopsided. Arch Manning and Texas won, but like, San Jose State covered 37.5. Like that shows you how, like, still, you know, Vegas is still, you know, on the Manning train, and I don't know why his name's not Eli and or freaking, you know, Peyton. I think Arch will get there probably by the midpoint of the season. He'll start putting up the numbers like that he's expected to, but like he still threw a pick and you know, I don't know. I think there's still a little bit of shine. And, you know, I think the offense got opened up a little bit more for Texas, but it's still not where it needs to be. So we'll see. Anyway, this week, take Wisconsin to cover 19.5 against Alabama. Alabama beat the brakes off of FCS team this week, but I'm not sure they're going to have the same level of success against FBS opponents. This will be an interesting matchup because Big Ten versus the SEC, like if you look at the statistics of the last couple of years, Big Ten is kind of got their number right now. So we'll see if a Luke Fickell coach team can go into Tuscaloosa and pull off that. I don't know if they'll win, but I certainly think they'll cover. And then take the under of UConn and Delaware. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Delaware's offense is not that great. UConn, flashes of brilliance last season, but not so great this season. I think pretty much what's going to happen is they're going to score maybe, you know, I think it's like probably a, you know, 28-10 final score. You know, you're muted, Dano.
God damn it. They're going to beat the brakes off Delaware. I don't know how to tell you, Rob. They're a much better team than they look. I mean – I understand. I understand your reluctance, but dude, come on.
50.5 points? No way. No way.
Now, if you're thinking it's going to be like an LSU Louisiana Tech 23-7 game where UConn maybe lets off the gas, I could see that happening.
Yeah, I guess I could see that happening.
That's possible.
If they decide to just run the ball, I could see it being like a 35-10 game.
Yeah, that I could see.
Yeah, I just don't think UConn is going to get out of hand. I think they're going to score. Yeah, I think it'll be lopsided, but I don't think they're going to score like 50.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think they're going to beat them 45-5 or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. We've got some picks in here for Omar. So Omar is taking BC to cover 10.5 at Stanford. And again, for all the reasons why we said their fan base should be concerned. Wow. Stanford's offense is terrible. You know, Boston College, he brings a passing ability.
Just lost to Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think in overtime. That was a good game.
Yeah, for sure. He's got UAB covering 11.5 versus Akron. As bad as UAB's defense is.
He's like, that's the two worst teams in football right there going at it.
Jesus. I think that's why he took that most. That may be the most obscure pick in the history of picks. And then his third one is Kentucky covering -24.5 against Eastern Michigan.
I don't know, man. I'm not convinced with Kentucky.
Eastern's bad. of the directional Michigans, they're the worst this year. It's like Central and Western are right there, and then Eastern's way down there. They're bad. They lost a lot.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, man. Like, wow, we're at the end of the show, guys. We went through and that is a fair point, Ray.
Omar's walkery.
100%. Another great week of college football is in the books. We finally are starting to see some teams gel as they start to get closer to conference play. Some teams will have another 2 weeks of cupcakes, which is just ridiculous. That just it makes your stomach upset. I think as the playoff evolves, teams are going to have to start moving the cupcakes out of the beginning of the season and start making their case for their conference games. Either going to add a conference like the SEC has done, add an additional conference game to force, you know, the strength of schedule discussion.
Yeah.
Or start dropping some of these cupcake teams, because like you can't play three, you know, softer opponents and expect to make it into the playoff. Like I just don't think that's right. And, you know, but then again, sports writers, man, Paul Feinbaum is still saying, you know, Alabama is going to win the national championship this week. So
like, he'll never.
He's also that, he's though. Also still alive for those of you.
Yeah, so I got a favorite thing before we move on to the wrap up. So I got invited by a classmate of mine who's doing another podcast. It's called The Beaten Zone, and we are going to talk Army stuff, but it's kind of to counter the some of the treachery that's happening in the vet bro culture right now. So we've got a lot of veterans that are taking each other down for no apparent reason. Like, look, I get it. Everybody's trying to sell, you know, mouthwash and dog food or merch. Go to the Ask for Football merch store. But like, if I lead my discussion with, hey, before I dive into me insulting and deep diving in this guy's background and all the bad things he's ever done in uniform, make sure you buy a t-shirt from my merch store. You know, that kind of tells me where your head is, you know? So John Mark and I are going to get on and, talk about Army stuff. So if you want to know more about, you know, what I did when I was in the suit, check that one out. It should be coming out early part of next week. But the other piece of it is like, hey man, there's enough people out there selling t-shirts that you don't have to dog out your battle buddy to get ahead.
That's a great topic that does need some attention, because, you know, with veteran trash talk, when we decided to start that was like the cornerstone of the foundation of what we believe in. We will promote anyone for free, and we never, ever share a problem we'd have with a veteran on a platform. If it was to the point where we had a problem with them that bad, we'd talk to them. But we've got enough issues without taking each other down. Like, man, yeah. that if you're making t-shirts and coffee, you're grinding. So yeah. Let those guys make their money.
Yeah, but I mean, and again, it's a much deeper topic, but the reality of it is everything that John Mark is doing is going to a 501c called Operation Freedom Paws, and that's to help veterans get service animals and that kind of thing. So, like, if you know, want to tune into John Wick's new favorite podcast, come check it out, because it's all about Army stuff and dogs, so I think that'll be cool. But all that being said, if you are a member of the Firstie Club, be excited, because we've got a really special interview coming up on the Army Football Show here in about 36 minutes, but we'll get you guys out of here. Thanks for checking us out. This is the College Football Roundtable, or also known as Ring Knocker Radio. I'm Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal, Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. Hey, we thank you guys for checking us out this week, and as always, you know, hey, beat the bye week, but we'll talk to you guys here in about 30 minutes if you are in the Firstie Club for the Army Football Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind the scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.